Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, the Biblical Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. You've got your daily 10 minutes with Jesus looking at Philippians chapter 4, especially the first portion. Here goes. So then, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way, keep standing firm in the Lord, my dear friends. I appeal to Euodia and I appeal to Syntyche to come to an agreement in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, true co-worker, bring these women together, who contended alongside me in the gospel, as did also Clement, and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellent, and if anything is praiseworthy, think about these things. The things that you learned, received, heard, and saw in me, keep doing these things. The God of peace will be with you. This is the word of our God. After chapter 3, which is perhaps the strongest bit of warning in the entire book of Philippians, most of the book of Philippians is kind of characterized by this idea and this feeling, this emotion, this sense of joy, as Paul remembers them and has them in mind, even as he is sitting there in prison, and it's probably not a pleasant place. Paul kind of draws the letter to a conclusion, especially with verse 1 in this chapter. And I guess verse 1 is the concluding part of the main body of the letter, because then the rest of this chapter is just kind of concluding thoughts, like an epilogue or an appendix, as Paul often does, where, you know, like in the book of Romans, he has a very, very strict theme and outline throughout the entire book. And then chapter 16 is basically this collection of greetings, collections of closing instructions, maybe some specific instructions about a particular situation that he's heard about. And the same thing here. He concludes, this is the way to keep standing firm in the Lord, my dear friends, that they watch out and they build one another up, that they beware legalism and they beware license, where both would assert that you have to do something or you can do something to get closer to God, or that you can do whatever you want because it doesn't matter. And I think perhaps a helpful distinction there before we get to the rest of this chapter, a helpful distinction for what he had just talked about in Philippians chapter 3 is often used, I think it was first pioneered by Tim Keller, Presbyterian pastor in downtown New York City, now retired, just probably the greatest or the greatest apologist of the modern era, you know, after C.S. Lewis, but he's not really modern. Anyway, Tim Keller kind of divided it up into three different categories: religion, irreligion, and gospel. And I think that can be helpful, where he defined religion as following the set of rules and obligations and laws, thinking that you approach God on the basis of religion, on the basis of what you do or what you don't do. Okay? That's the Pharisees. That's legalism. Irreligion is thinking that you approach God, or if you even consider God at all, that God will find you acceptable no matter what you do, thinking that I can do what I want, and completely disregarding God's grace, not by the rules and laws that they are obeying, but by specifically defying or denying those rules and those laws. That's also what we call antinomianism, which is a throwing out of God's law or a redefining of God's law. And so both of those avenues, both of those ditches are equally incorrect on the basis of religion, as he calls it, or legalism, saying that you have to do these particular things in order to approach God, or on the basis of antinomianism or license or irreligion, saying that it is better for you to approach God if you do the opposite of those laws. But right in the middle is this gospel life that he kind of talks about. And that's exactly what Paul talks about here. After he warns them against legalism and warns them against, you know, straight up religion of works and deeds, and he warns them against license and your religion. Then he says, oh, by the way, this is the gospel. This is your gospel life. And so hold on to this and stand firm in the Lord. Keep on standing firm. There's in verse one here, there's that sense of an ongoing action. Keep standing firm. Keep doing this. And then he's got this sort of exhortations in the rest of this, through verse nine. First of all is the statement in verses 2 and 3, that he's talking to these women who apparently have had some sort of disagreement, and it has not solved itself, but rather it's gotten worse. And so Paul says, I appeal to you, encourage one another and come to an agreement. And then he says, don't let this get in the way, but rather verse 4, rejoice, the Lord is near. And that's a comfort for believers. And that statement of the Lord is near is also a statement of judgment for the unbeliever. A statement of comfort that God is here for his people, that he is going to keep his people, he is protecting his people. And also a statement of judgment that the God who is near is going to bring his justice against those who defy him and who disobey him and who are unbelievers and who have forfeited the righteousness of Christ. And so he says, do not worry about anything, because the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he just kind of concludes, whatever is true, honorable, right. He's got this group of seven. Again, that number seven, kind of a complete number, so it's a very, very poetic flourish as he concludes here. And it's also an encouragement. Whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy, think about these things. The things that you have learned, received, heard, and saw in me, keep doing these things. The God of peace will be with you. And perhaps the final note there at verse 9 is that the teaching of the gospel is a message that is proclaimed. But that message that is proclaimed has an effect on those who proclaim it and on those who receive it. And it's supposed to change one's life. And it does. It really does. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, raised from the dead for you and for me, is a life-changing truth. But Paul says, oh, by the way, it's not just what you heard and what you saw, but also what you saw in me. That God wants our actions to back up what we say we believe. That God wants the attitudes to reflect what we proclaim. And so as we go about our day, have you just contemplate for a moment, first of all, the beautiful reality of Jesus raised from the dead for you. And then secondly, reflect on your own life, on your relationships, on your occupation, on the tasks that you carry out. Reflect on your own life. And how has that gospel made a difference to you? How has that gospel changed your attitude? Maybe giving you a little bit of perspective. How has that gospel really shaped the way that we act toward others and interact with others? How has that gospel made a difference? And if you think back, and you might scratch your head a little bit and say, well, not quite as good of an impact, and I still do some of the things that I wish I hadn't, then I'm here to remind you that in baptism you were raised with Jesus, that you have new life with Christ, and that Jesus has bought you and made you his own and made you a member of his body. And so let that truth sink in. And God has forgiven your sin, and he has given you another day to reflect that resurrection life to others. God bless your day.